I believe tonight that without him we can do nothing. How many people believe that tonight? Absolutely. We can absolutely not do anything without the Lord. We have to have his help. We have to have him to help us. We can't do it. Brother Clay was talking this morning about when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus there healed. He referred to it when Jesus healed that boy that was possessed of the devil. Yes. And different gospel recorders say different things, but Matthew's gospel, where Josh was teaching from and Brother Clay was making reference this morning, said that they brought that boy to the disciples and they said they could not cure him. I always found that interesting. There was other gospel writers said they couldn't cast the devil out of him, but Matthew said they could not cure him. But then they brought him to Jesus. And then after Jesus touched him, Matthew recorded that he was cured. That's what Matthew said about it, that Jesus cured him. And I'll tell you tonight, Christ still has the cure for whatever ails you in your life tonight. People may not be able to, but absolutely Jesus has the answer. How many people believe that tonight? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. How many people believe that Jesus died and rose again? It is the necessity. In order to be saved, you have to believe that Jesus Christ died and that he rose again. That's what it hinges on. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them. That phrase there means we shall not precede them. We shall not precede them or prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My subject tonight is when Jesus comes. When Jesus comes. Father, I thank you tonight for your goodness, Lord. I thank you, God, for your help. I thank you, Lord, for your strength and your courage. I pray tonight, God, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that would come upon me, that would make up that which I lack tonight, Lord. I pray tonight that you would touch the hearts of those that hear this word. I pray, Lord, that you would bring encouragement to every discouraged soul. I pray tonight, God, that you would visit us in this house, that you would saturate us with your presence. God, that you would help us tonight to see the closeness of your coming. And let us leave here tonight, Lord, looking for that blessed day and getting ready for your coming draweth near to us. Help us, God, to be watching and waiting and be ready, lest we be caught unaware and unprepared for that day. If you'll do these things, Lord, I'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And the church said, amen. I'm going to confess to you tonight, and starting as a preacher of the gospel, I find that it's easy to shy away from subjects that we know so much about. It is something that sometimes, I don't know, I think that we get in our own heads and we get the feeling like that maybe that because people know so much about a subject that maybe they'll be bored or they won't get what we're preaching. But I think because of that, sometimes I skirt subjects that probably need to be preached and that need to be stirring up people's mind, as the writer said, by way of remembrance. Though we know it, yet it's easy to forget it. How many people agree with that tonight? It's absolutely easy to forget it. I've been studying on the coming of the Lord for my own personal benefit lately, looking at it and endeavoring to understand it and think about it more, because I think that we are living in the last days, And I think that we are nearing the coming of the Lord. Yes. Not one more thing has to happen in order for Jesus Christ to come back. We believe in the any moment coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That simply means that we believe that Jesus Christ can come tonight while we're here in this service. We believe that before I get through preaching tonight and make this altar call, the trump of God could sound. And a resurrection could take place in the graveyard. And absolutely those which are alive and remain in believers in the Lord Jesus Christ could be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. How many people believe that tonight? I thank the Lord tonight. I thank Him. I thank Him for the first time that He came. Had Jesus not came the first time, there would never be a second coming. But because He came the first time, we have this hope of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I look to the first coming of the Lord to earth, and I find so many truths that surround that first advent of Jesus when He came to the earth the first time. I praise God for the virgin birth. How many people still believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Yes. I praise Him for His sinless life. How many people believe that Jesus was a sinless life? When I was studying the work of Jesus Christ for myself years ago, I found myself struggling with how that He was sinless. And I understood that, and I believed that, Sister Helena, that Jesus Christ was absolutely the sinless Lamb of God. I don't think He could see Him. But yet, when I began to study the work of Jesus, and I had to come to that understanding, Brother Bruce, though He was sinless in His life, yet upon the cross of Calvary, God put on Him the sin of the whole world, and He became that substitution sacrifice for the entire world. Though He knew no sin, though there was no sin in Him, Brother Clay, yet God put up on Him and allowed Him to bear away the sin of the entire world. I thank God for His sinless life. I thank God for His teachings and His miracles and His ministry. I praise God tonight for the death of Jesus Christ. Had it not been for the death of Jesus Christ, every person on the sound of my voice tonight would not have any hope. We would be the most miserable, the most hopeless, the most helpless, the most devastated people on the face of the earth had it not been for Calvary and the cross of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness to that tonight? I praise God for His victorious resurrection. Hallelujah. I'm glad that day on Easter morning that we celebrate on the third day that Jesus Christ got up out of the grave with the keys of death, hell, and the grave, absolutely with all victory and with all power. And because of His resurrection, I understand tonight and I believe that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be. The writer said it was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. I praise God tonight for His glorious ascension. Is this all right with you all tonight? I praise God for His glorious ascension. If you came to church tonight feeling like you didn't have anything to praise God about, I've gave you enough to last you a while already in my opening remarks. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I praise God for that glorious ascension. When they went outside of Jerusalem that day, and they stood there and they watched Him ascend back into heaven. I'm absolutely thankful for that today, because that's still where He's at tonight. He ascended back to heaven, not just to sit down at the right hand of God the Father, but He went there on a mission to sit down, yes, to sit down at the right hand of God the Father, but He went there with the purpose to make intercession for you and I tonight. Hallelujah. The fact that Jesus Christ has not came back to the earth the second time means that He's in heaven tonight praying for you and I, that our faith fails us
not. Hallelujah. He looked at Simon Peter upon his earthly ministry. He said to him, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail you not. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Hallelujah. I tell you tonight, you may be under attack of hell, but I want you to understand it ain't the only voice that's crying out tonight. There is a voice in heaven that's crying out. I appreciate the prayers of every person in this church house tonight, but I want you to understand there's somebody that's praying for you and I that has the attention of God tonight, and it is Jesus Christ. I believe with every fiber of my being, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, that Jesus Christ, when he sees us in a struggle, he prays to God the Father and says, for my sake, would you help them in their struggle?
Listen. I'm glad he ascended. I'm glad he's at the right hand of God the Father tonight. And I want you to understand the first coming of the Lord Jesus into this world, it was a time of amazing power, wonderful miracles. I mean, what love that we can't describe, and grace that we can't even find words to put into description in sending Jesus into the world. God accomplished the work of salvation for every person that will believe. Can I get a witness out there tonight? Every person that will believe. In sending Jesus Christ into the world, God demonstrated his love for lost and dying humanity. If you want to know tonight how much God loves every one of you under the sound of my voice, you need to not look any farther than Calvary. Oh, God. In sending Jesus into the world, God completed his perfect and profound plan of salvation and redemption. Thank God for all Jesus accomplished when he came the first time to earth. But here's the truth tonight. Read Acts 1 and 11. He went away. He ascended back into heaven. But he ascended, leaving you and I, the church, with a commission to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. If the church of Jesus Christ is doing anything less than carrying on the mission of reaching a lost and dying world, we are failing as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned. Number one priority of every church ought to be reaching lost souls at any cost. You all believe this tonight? You all believe what I'm preaching to you tonight? Whoo! Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he left us here, but he did not leave us without hope. He left us with a promise that he would absolutely come again. They said to them, "Men, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples the night before he laid down his life on the cross of Calvary. He said to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Do you hear what Jesus said? He said, "I'm going to prepare a place
for you. He makes it personal. It's for you. Do you understand tonight what took Jesus? Why he left his home in glory and he came to earth? It was not for his own glory, but it was for you and I, that you and I might be saved, that we might inherit eternal life, that we might have a home in glory, that we might be redeemed from the curse of sin. Do you understand tonight? When he went away, the reason he said he'll come again is because he said, I'm coming back for the same people that I came the first time. I came the first time to redeem them. I came to rescue their soul from sin, but I'm coming back for them again. I'm going away, but I'm preparing a place for you. Whew. Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory be to God tonight. I tell you, I believe every word that I'm preaching to you tonight. I believe with every fiber of my being tonight that Jesus Christ came to this earth and laid down his life for my life. He laid it down that I might be saved. And I believe with every fiber of my being, and I rest my eternal soul upon the word of God tonight. I anchor my entire eternal destiny. I hinge every bit of my eternity, all of my eternal soul and hopes upon the promise that Jesus Christ is coming back for me to take me to a place that he has prepared for me. Woo! Could I tell you tonight, God never created hell for one person to go to. Brother Jeff Scaff, when hell was created, it was created for the devil and his angels. Whew. God never intended for one soul to go to that eternal burning lake of fire, Sister Helena. But he created heaven for everybody and flung open wide the door and said, I want everybody on the face of the earth to come to heaven. Woo! Oh, could I tell you tonight, if you're on your way to hell, God don't want you to go there. He don't want you to go there. Give me just a little while. I'm going to hurry up here. The last words from our Lord in our blessed Bible. Absolutely, the last words from our Lord Jesus in our blessed Bible is, surely I come quickly. How many people has been looking for the Lord to come? Half of you? How many people has been looking for the Lord to come? Could I tell you tonight, he's coming back for his people. The reason Jesus Christ is coming back the second time, he's coming back for his people. He's coming back for every one of you that are saved. Every one of you that are born again. Every one of you that are a child of God. The reason that he's coming back is he's coming back for you. Could I tell you tonight, this gives us hope in this world where we have little reason for hope. I'm trying to preach to you tonight. Woo! We live in an hour when there's very little things to hope for, Sister Oney. The world that we live in, the economy is crumbling. The world's getting more wicked.
Amen. Amen.
Me and my wife just found out this week that we're going to have a kid. Good news. Good news. Can't believe nobody hadn't heard.
Praise God. I told two people. Two. And I bet 30 called me. Woo! Hallelujah. Y'all get, that ain't my sermon, but it'd be a good one, wouldn't it? Praise God. But I thought Josh was one of them. But he didn't tell. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Nah, people asked me if they could tell. I told them they could. I was making a joke, trying to lighten y'all up. But I thought how wicked the world is. Been on my mind the last few days. Whew. My Lord. My Lord. I look at these young people tonight. I'm 33 years old. I wouldn't want to go back 15 years, 16, 18 years and deal with what Isaac, Michael, and these young ladies have to deal with tonight. I wouldn't want to. And how much more it's going to progress. I'm telling you, when you look at the world we're living in, there's not much hope. There's actually no hope in this world. That's why he tells us this is our hope. Our hope's not in this world. Our hope is out of this world. Whew. Our hope is outside of this world tonight. Titus 2 and 13 said, looking for that blessed hope. That's what the writer called it. He said, blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This ought to be the hope of every believer in this house tonight. It ought to be our hope that's burning in our heart. That our hope is not in this world. It's not in the things of this world. But our hope is in the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hope tonight is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. Can I tell you tonight that when Jesus comes, that when he comes, this hope is going to be fulfilled. It's absolutely going to be brought to completion. When Jesus comes, first of all, there's going to be a resurrection. How many people believe in that tonight? This resurrection is going to be the first resurrection. It's going to be the resurrection of the dead in Christ. Now I know there'll be other resurrections throughout the end times. I know there's coming a resurrection where he will resurrect even those that are the wicked dead. I understand it. He's going to resurrect them to the great white throne judgment where they will be sentenced to the second death. But I want you to understand this resurrection that's going to take place when Jesus comes is the first resurrection in which he will resurrect the dead in Christ. Could I tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is going to completely redeem men from the curse of sin? Kevin was talking about how that the Lord saved him. And hope I ain't taking too long tonight. I just feel like preaching a little while. Kevin was talking about how the Lord saved him and what the Lord done for him, how the Lord redeemed him from the curse of sin. Man, that's good. That's great. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, it just don't stop there with the guilt and punishment of sin. Jesus Christ, his work on Calvary completely abolished sin forever in my life. Now tonight, I'm living in a sin-cursed world. I'm suffering effects of living in a sin-cursed world. Death and sickness is part of the world that we're living in tonight. Sorrow and tears, all these things come from living under the curse of sin. But I believe that when Jesus Christ comes again, that he will completely redeem the dead in Christ out from under that curse of sin. Though we are dead, I believe this is just how I believe. This may not be how you believe. This is how I believe. I believe that when I close my eyes in death, my body you take out to the graveyard and you lay it in the ground. But I believe my spirit
spirit never dies. I believe this physical body may see death, but I believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't believe my spirit ever dies. I believe when I came to the altar that night and I received Jesus Christ, I inherit eternal life. And because I believed on Jesus, he taught me that I would never die. My physical body may be under the curse of sin. You may carry it out to the graveyard and lay it down, but my spirit will ever live with Jesus Christ. Eternal life is not a manifestation that takes place at death. It's a manifestation that begins to work in a life at the very beginning when Jesus Christ saves a man or woman. They at that moment begin to live eternally. I'm not waiting on death to inherit eternal life. I've got eternal life living inside of me right now because the Son of God lives in me. And because he lives in me, I shall not die but forever live. But when that trumpet sounds, Brother Claybrook, whoo, though my spirit's never going to die, if you brethren outlive me, you'll pack me out to the graveyard and lay me in the ground. And I want you to understand something. When that trumpet of God sounds and Jesus comes back again, he's going to redeem my body from the curse of sin. Corruption, put on incorruption. Mortal, put on immortality. Hallelujah. I know it's a mystery. I don't understand everything there is to understand about it, but I know one thing. He's going to do a work in my life that's absolutely going to redeem me out from under the curse of sin and Satan. Yes. Whew. We're all going to be part of that first resurrection. All the believers are. But they that will be raised and translated first, those that are dead in Christ, are those that's absolutely going to be raised first and translated first. I don't know exactly how it's all going to take place. And I know he said we're not going to prevent them. We're not going to precede them. They're going to rise first out of the ground and meet the Lord in the air. Someone once said a cemetery be a mighty good place to be when the Lord comes back. I don't know if the graves are going to open. Whew. He don't need to. He don't have to. But I know this. He left his tomb open for them unbelievers to look in. He made sure they could all look in there and make sure he wasn't there. And I just kind of got a feeling down in my heart. It ain't biblical. It ain't doctrine. Please don't fall out with me over it. But I just kind of feel like that he's probably going to leave the graves open and put some questions in some people's minds and wonder, where in the world did them dead Christians go? There's going to be a resurrection. I want to tell you tonight, there's going to be a rescue. There's going to be a rescue. We which are alive and remain. He said, I'm going to resurrect those dead in Christ. But he said, there's also going to be a rescue. We which are alive and remain. Paul says there's going to be some people that are alive and remain when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth again. When Jesus comes, it'll be a sudden event. Listen, I'd like to have your attention for just a little while and try to preach to you what's on my heart tonight. It's going to be a sudden event. The Bible teaches us that it'll be like lightning from the east to the west. in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as fast as you can bat your eyes, how fast that it's going to take place. It ain't going to be something drawn out. It ain't going to be something you're going to have much warning about. It's simply one day, an ordinary day like every other day. It's going to take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. One moment we'll be living life as normal. The next moment we'll be with Him in the air, leaving this world behind. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Whew. Hope ain't boring you too bad tonight. Notice what the writer says. He says, we, listen, Jesus is not coming for everyone. Can I get a witness out there tonight? He is not coming for everyone. Paul says we. He refers to a class of people who are active followers of Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that only those that look for His appearing, those that love His appearing, will He appear for them the second time. That means every lukewarm Christian will not go in the rapture of the church. Every person that does not look for the coming of the Lord, that's not actively waiting, that's not actively longing, every person that does not have their eyes focused on the coming of Jesus Christ will be left behind. Oh yes. He's only coming back for those that are saved. Whew. Get a witness out there to that tonight. Only those that are saved. Here's the thing about church people. You can't really tell who is and who ain't a lot of times. You really can't. On this platform tonight, I have no idea. There may be brethren up here that ain't prayed in 2 or 3 weeks. I have no idea. I can't tell. I don't know. There may be things going on in this pews tonight that I have no idea about. Whew. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But in that moment, as the tree falls, that's why every day I pray, God, help me guard my heart. If there's bitterness in my heart when the trumpet sounds, my feet ain't getting off the ground, saints of God. It don't matter how many sermons I've preached. It don't matter how many people's prayed under my ministry. It don't matter how many times I've went to the jail and preached to people. Brother Anthony, it's never heard the gospel message. None of that matters. On that day when the trumpet sounds, if I'm not right with the Lord, I am left behind. You all got quiet on me. Is that true tonight? You all believe that tonight? Here's how it is. I like this. I like this right here. Those with the nature of Jesus will be leaving. And those with the nature of Adam will be staying. That's what it boils down to tonight. Those that are like Jesus will be leaving. And those like Adam will be staying. That means my stubbornness, my rebellion, my hatefulness, my... Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Y'all with me out there? That means all of that old Adamic nature, if that's what's dominating my life, Brother Clay, I'm staying here in Adam's world. But if I'm like Jesus, I'm leaving and going to Jesus' world. And I'll stay there with Him till the marriage supper is over, and then I'm coming back with Him when He claims Adam's world back and makes it His own. Can I get an amen?
That's right.
Come on, saints of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rapture will be serious.
It's serious because only the redeemed will go. Only the redeemed will go. Not people that belong to my church or somebody else's church. But only those redeemed will go. Only those that are ready will go in the rapture. Everyone else will be left behind to face the horrors of the tribulation period. Be sure you're ready because Jesus Christ is coming. Can you all say amen tonight? Is that all right with you all tonight? Don't want to be offensive to no one. Y'all get what I'm preaching about tonight? I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Oh, God, I've been praying the last few days. God, I want to be ready. People in this house tonight's not ready. If Jesus comes tonight, we're not ready. The question is, when we going to get ready?
That's right.
When we going to get ready? I hear him saying, I come in an hour when you think not. He's coming at an hour when people are not looking and they're not ready. Listen, saints, the doctrine of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to dominate our Christian experience tonight. I got so tore up about this, Jeff, because I really realized, and I'm just confessing my faults to you tonight. The Bible said confess your faults one to another. So let's let the preacher go first tonight and be the first fruits. All right? I found myself, my mind being dominated by things other than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's coming, saints of God. He's coming. You hear me? This Bible says he's coming. He said he's coming. And he's absolutely coming for everyone that is ready. Can I get an amen tonight? There'll be a reunion. I'm winding down. There'll be a reunion. The Bible said, caught up together with them. Those that are resurrected, them saints of God. He said, we'll be caught up together with them. Hallelujah. What a reunion. Multitudes that have gone on before us to heaven. We miss them now because we can't see them. We cannot hold them. We cannot talk to them. We can't be with them. But there's a day coming. I'm telling you tonight, there's a day coming when we'll be together again. They're safe now in the arms of Jesus. And when he comes, he will raise their bodies from the dead and take them up into the clouds with him. And we shall see them again. Parents will see their children. Spouses will see their partners. Friends will be united. Families put back together. What a day that will be. Whew. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Glory be to God. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Not only united with those who have went on before. I'm about done. If you want to get us a song, I'm done. I'm about done. Not only are we united with those that went on before us, but the part I like is when he said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It excites me to think about seeing those that's run this race already. It thrills my heart. But I'm telling you tonight, there's one that I want to see. There's one I want to hear his voice. There's one that I want to personally thank him for what he's done for me. His name is Jesus. Oh, God, let's stand all over the house. Father, I love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Help us, Lord, to be looking for your coming. God, those tonight in this house that's not ready, would you help them to get ready, Lord? God, would you hear the prayer preacher tonight? Would you help us, God, to get ready? God, help us to not let the things of this world, the things of this life, so encumber us that we miss your coming. God, lighten our hearts tonight, encourage our minds, strengthen our spirits. Help us, God, to get our focus upon you, Lord. Get us ready, Lord, for you're coming in an hour when people are not aware, when they're not looking. As a thief, you're coming in the night. Help us, God, to get ready. Make us ready, Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen. The altar's open tonight if you want to pray. So